Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now at the beginning of the fourth chapter of Masechet Shvuot. And in order to just give a quick introduction to the chapter, which is chiefly devoted to Shvuat HaEdut, which is the third and final, although first in sequence, component of the items for which Yechayiv Korban Olev Yored, take a look, please, at the first verse on the page, on the handout, which is Vayikra Perakeh Pasuk Aleph. V'nefesh ki tishma kol Allah v'hu eid o ra'ah o yada. Now, ki tishma shama kol Allah means you hear an imprecation, which means that, and there's no other mention of an oath in this pasuk, but the way that Chazal understand what's happening in pshat in the pasuk is you hear an imprecation and you are a witness. Im lo yagid v'nasavono, if you don't testify, then you are guilty. Now notice, there is no mention, we already said this in the Gemara, there's no mention of venelam here, there's no issue of forgetfulness here. And so the construct is that somebody comes up to you and issues an oath, and in reality you are a witness of something, and you don't testify, you're guilty. So what's the context? Somebody comes up to you who has a case in court, and your testimony will help him, and he issues an oath, and you nonetheless refuse to comply and come testify. If you really do know testimony, then you are guilty. That's Shvuat HaEdut. Okay, here we go. Shvuat HaEdut noheget ba'anashim v'lo b'nashim. And this is contrasted with what we saw in the last Mishnah in the previous parak. It only applies to men. Birchokin v'lo b'krovin. It only applies to people who are not closely related to the person issuing the oath. Bichsherin v'lo b'psulin. Only valid witnesses. And the last line is a little bit strange. It only applies to people who can testify. Now that last line really should be a summary of the first three, but the Gemara will see something new in there. Bifnei beitin v'shlo bifnei beitin, mi piatzmo, meaning that not only, what we saw in the pasuk, if the person who's going to court issues an oath to you, the potential witness, but also if you generate the oath on your own, whether in presence of beitin or not, but if the other person issues the oath, then you're only liable if in Beitin you say, I don't know anything. Divrei Reb Meir. V'chachamim omrim, ben v'atzom ben v'acherim, ein chayvin ad shechpru ben v'etin. Whether or not you make the oath on your own, or the other person issues the oath, you're only liable if you deny it in Beitin. V'chayvin al zdon ha-shvua, this is already the second Mishnah, V'al shingata im zdon ha-edut. You're liable if you do it intentionally. You're even liable if you do it unintentionally, as long as you knew that you knew the edut. And so we'll see what is it that you forgot here. V'en chayvin al shingata. But if you are totally shogeg about it, which means you forgot that you had any testimony, then you're not liable when you refuse to testify. Mind chayvin al zdon ha-shvua. So what are you liable? Korban olav yored. There's a korban olav yored, and this is the only case where you're liable if you're, even if you're fully intending all of it, and there's no forgetfulness whatsoever. Now, minahani mili. The first question is, how do we know that only men can testify? In other words, the first statement in the Mishnah is Shvuat HaEdut only applies to men because men, of course, are the only valid witnesses. How do we know that men are the only valid witnesses? We have three braitot, and each of them utilizes the phrase v'yamdu shneha anashim, which is in pasuk number two on the page, and then builds from there, and each one of them has a preemptive statement due to inherent deficiency in the limud. V'yamdu shneha anashim beidim akatu medaber. The two men stand up, and that's talking about the two witnesses. Atam rabeidim o enel bevali dinin. But in the context it says, if people have a disagreement, ki ela lahem riv, v'yamdu shneha anashim, they stand in front of the court, and the court decides who's guilty, which means the shneha anashim here are the litigants. Kshu omer asher lahem hariv, hare bevali dinin mamur. But when it says, the two men who disagree, that's referring, who disagree, that's the litigants. Hamanim mekayim v'amdu shnei anashim be'edim akatu medaber. So the shnei anashim are the witnesses. V'im nafshach lomar, but if you're concerned, then I have a solution. Nemar kan shnei, v'nemar lahlan shnei. Where it says the famous pasuk, al pi shnei edim, malalan be'edim afkan be'edim. That's edim. So the shnei anashim here are edim also. Now, we, and analyze this. Ma'im nafshach lomar, what would you be bothered by? What's the preempt here? V'chitema v'delo katav v'asher lahem hariv. Since the text doesn't say v'yamdu shnei anashim va'asher lahem hariv, so I would say kulei krab v'alidini mishtai, and that's pshat in the pasuk, of course, that the entire phrase is referring to the litigants, not the witnesses. So therefore, I have the fallback, ne'mar kan shnei, ne'mar lan shnei, malan edim afkan edim. That's breakthrough number one. Number two, same kind of approach. Again, I might think it's the litigants. Amarta, it says the two. So what, there could only be two litigants? There can't be multiple litigants? Problem, of course, is you could also have multiple edim, and that's more likely. Now, Shach Lamar, again, if you're concerned, Amar Kan Shnei, Ben Amar Lahan Shnei, Malan Meidim, Afkan Beidim. So again, my name of Shach Lamar, what was the concern? When it says the two men, it means the two sides. It could be five over here and six over there, partners, whatever it is. The two men means the two sides. So the answer is, Nemar Kan Shnei, Nemar Lahan Shnei, Alan Meidim, Afkan Beidim. Third Braita, Tanya Idach. Again, the same approach. Amarta, women can't be litigants. But if you don't like it, and again, what was the concern? Women really don't come to din very often, meaning the text is referring to the common case, which is men. Because women stay at home, they stay in the house, it's not nice for them to come out to court. So Nemar Kan Shnei V'Nemar Lan Shnei. Again, I have that fallback. Mal Alan Beidim Afkan Beidim. Okay, good. Tana Rabbanan. We move now. Yamdu Shnei Anashim Mitzvah L'Bal Edinim Shiyamdu. Now we know that the pshat in Shnei Anashim is the litigants. So the mitzvah is that they should stand. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Shamati said, I heard a report. She'im Ratzu Lo Shivet Shneihem Moshivin. If they want to have them both sit, they can have them both sit. Ezuhu Asur. What's the prohibition? Shlo Yechad Omed V'Chad Yoshev. One shouldn't be standing, the other sitting. One gets to say anything he wants, the other one, they say, be brief. In other words, favoritism is what's prohibited. The easiest way to solve it is they both stand, but if they both sit, that's okay. Tana Rabbanan. Now we have a series of drashot on the pasuk in Kedoshim, but tzedek tishpot tamitacha, judge your fellow favorably. What's the first thing? Shelo yehe achad yoshev achad omeid. Same idea, you can't have one sitting, one standing. Achad medaber kol tzarko v'achad omer lo katzer dvarecha. Davar acher, this is now out of court. Judge everybody favorably. Always give them the benefit of the doubt. That's not in court. That's just when you see somebody do something, assume the best motivation. Tani Rav Yosef, back to court. What's amitacha? One who's a fellow in Torah mitzvot. Give him a good case. What does that mean? So here we hear a story. There was a Talmud Chacham who had a case in front of Rav Nachman. Shalach Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef sent a message about him. Ula chaverenu. Amit b'tarav mitzvot. This guy's one of the chevra. Amar lamai shalachli. So Rav Nachman says, why did he send this message? The chnufilei, to try to praise him and bolster him up? So hadamar lamishrei b'tigre. The answer was, aha, I know why he did it. He did it to allow him to go first. Because there is a halacha that a Talmud Chacham has a case in front of other people. We let him go to the front of the line. Not alone, of course, with his litigant, but he gets to be heard first. That's why he sent the message. Inami l'shuda de dayani, or else for the ruling of shuda, which is judicial discretion, in case there's an absolute toss-up about where the money should go, the judges try to figure where the donor would have wanted it or how the case should have played out. All right, so you should know this guy is a Talmud Chacham. Amar Ula, machloket, the machloket Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim is bali dinim. That the litigants, Rabbi Yehuda says, they may both sit. Everybody agrees the edim have to stand. Dichtiv, yamdu shnei anashim, and we say those are the witnesses. Amar Rav Huna, machloket bishat masal matan. Even among the bali dinim, the only machloket is during deliberations. Of bishat gmardin, when they have the gmardin, dayanim b'yeshiva, bali dinim b'amida. The dayanim have to sit, and the litigants have to stand when they're issuing the psak. That everybody stood over Moshe as Moshe was issuing psak. Lashon acher, there's another version. Machloket b'shat masal matan, b'shat gemar din de ve'akol dayanim b'yeshiva v'ledinim v'amida. Why? Same ruling. Ta'edim k'gemar din dami. So now the Balei Din standing is just like when the edim come to testify. That's the end of their job. This is the end of their job. So they have to stand. When it comes to witnesses, they have to stand. Now, Devitu to Rav Huna, Rav Huna's wife, Havile Dina Kame to Rav Nachman. Right? So she's an Eshet Chaver, and she had a case come to Rav Nachman. So not every woman stayed home and didn't come to court. Amar Hechi Navi, so Rav Nachman said, what do I do? I Eikumi Kama, if I stand up in her presence because she's of Eshet Chaver, Istat Mantante to Val Dina, the other guy's going to be quiet, he's going to think she's favored. Lo Eikumi Kama, if I don't stand up in her favor, Eshet Chaver, Harei Kuchaver, I owe her honor. So Amalek Shammai told his servant, Save afachalai bar avza. Throw, when I tell, give the signal, have a goose fly into the court. Shari laveve ekum, and I'll go after it, and I'll get up. As if, like I'm getting up for something else, but really I'm getting up to honor her. So the other guy won't feel like I'm honoring her. So he made an excuse to stand up. Wait a second, but we agreed, everybody agrees that Dayanim have to be absolutely sitting when they issue the psak. The answer is, Diyativ Commander Shari Masane. He was sitting like somebody who was taking care of his shoulder. He leaned over, so a little bit he was standing up to honor her, but he was basically sitting, leaning over like undoing a strap of his shoe. And issued the psak like that. It's kind of a strange setting, but that's what he did to solve the problem. I'm a bar avuna. Are at each other as litigants. What do? We tell the Talmud Chacham to sit down. We also tell the Amaretz he can sit down. But if he chooses to stand, that's his business. Rav Bar Shrav Yahavi Lidina coming to Papa. So this rabbi had a case in front of our Papa. So our Papa sat them both down. The shliach of the Beit Din, the bailiff, came and he saw this. Amaretz sitting in front of our Papa. He came and he hit him and he made him stand up. Papa didn't then say, no, sit down, it's okay. So, how could our Papa do that? That's favoring him. It's going to shut him up. The answer is, Amarav, Papa, or Papa answered afterwards, and Meimar Amar Iuhu Atvan. He'll say to himself, look, our Papa, the Dayan, had me sit. This bailiff didn't like me. So what? But I'm not afraid of our Papa. Our Papa likes me. He had me sit down. So I have to deal with this bailiff. Again, these Talmud Chacham and Amaretz have a din against each other. The Talmud Chacham shouldn't sit down on his own. Shouldn't the Mechzik come under Sadal of the din? It sounds like he's already coaching the Dayan into what he's going to say. That's only if he doesn't have a regular Seder to learn with this Dayan. Then not. Why may Mama be Idne Tarid? Because everybody sees it. They say they're learning together. That's the regular Seder. There's a Talmud Chacham who knows Edut. But the Beit Din that he would go to testify is kind of beneath his dignity. Lo Lezel doesn't have to go. We have the same halacha in Shavuot Aved. Let's say a Talmud Chacham is walking and he sees some kind of lowly thing. He doesn't have to pick it up as an Aveda. That's the Vitalamta, famous. So Hanimila Mamona, this is true about testimony only when it comes to Mamona. When the guy is coming to testify about some sort of an Isur, he has to testify and his Kavod goes out the window. He has to go to any court necessary. It's in Brachot in the third parak. Rav Yemar have a Yadalei Sahaduta Lamarzutra. So he knew testimony on behalf of Marzutra. He came to a Meimar. He made them all sit down. But he said to Rav Ashi, said to a Meimar, wait a second, Rabbi. You can make the Baladinim sit down, but the Edim have to stand, we said. Look, I have an assay of Amdushne and Hashim, the witnesses have to stand. I also have an assay of Kvod Torah, I have to honor the Kamen Chochem and have them sit. Assay de Kvod Torah Adif, I prefer the assay of Kvod Torah. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Now we're going to a series of drashot on the pasuk midvar sheker terchak, to stay away from falsehood. Minayin the dayan shlo yaseh sanigorin lidvarav. How do we know if a dayan makes a mistake? He shouldn't try to band-aid it by coming up with all sorts of explanations, but rather say I made a mistake and start over. Talmid lomar midvar sheker terchak. Stay away from lies. Minayin the dayan shlo yeshev talmid bur lefanav. Don't allow a foolish student to sit in front of you when you're judging. Because he's going to confuse you with his questions and his comments. Keep him away. How do you know if a Dayan or an aide knows that the other guy, the other Dayan sitting there, or the other aide who's coming, is really Pasul? How do I know that I can't join him, create an aide? You got to stay away from Sheker, and joining him means you are enabling a false testimony. And I am the Dayan Shiodevadin Shuhumaruma. What if about a Dayan who knows that the proceedings have been tainted? Shalomar Hoyav Eidim Eidin Achtachenu Vihet Kolar Talui Vitzavar Eidim. He shouldn't say, listen, all the thing has been done by the book, so I'll write the psak, and the responsibility is on the witnesses' heads. Savaridim, Tamalamad Vashakat Yachak. Okay, minayim the talmid sheyoshev b'fei rabo v'ro'ez chut la'ani v'chov la'ashir. There's a talmid sitting in front of his rebbe in the dveitin, and he himself sees an argument that would help out the poor person or hurt the rich person in the case. Minayim shlo yishtok. How do we know he can't be silent? Don't know. Do hashakar techak. Minayim talmid sheyoshev rabo shetomedin. How about if he sees his rebbe making a mistake? Shlo yomam tim lo'ad shig v'reno. I'll wait till he finishes and has his whole bundle prepared to paskin, vesteren of nenomi shali, and then I'll rip it all up, and then I'll build a whole case, kadeshi karei din al shmi, and then it'll be known as my psak. Tavalon rashak techak, you gotta stop him right away, and let it be his proper psak. Menon the talmid shamarlo rabo yodea tabishi, im not nimli mea monet, eni mevadet. What about if a rebbe says to a talmid, listen, you know that even for $100,000, I would never lie. Manei yishli it's a ploni, but I have some money with ploni, ve'en li alav ela edachad, I only have one aid. How do we know that the student shouldn't allow the Rebbe to coerce him to be a false witness, to be a second witness? That's where you get it from? That's false testimony. You're not allowed to testify falsely. So that can't be what it is. He said, look, I have one good witness. I just want you to come and stand there and don't say a word, as if you're a second witness. You won't say a lie. Still, you're still bound to stay away from lies, and it looks like you are enabling a lie. You really are. How do we know about a case where a guy is coming to collect the money from somebody else? Shaloyamar et tenenu b'matayim. You know what I'm going to do? I've got some other case with a shvua that I can't apply. It's a shvuan karka or something else. So I'm going to claim that he owes me 200, which is a lie. Kedeshiyodeli b'maneh, he'll admit to the 100 that he really owes me. V'itchayev l'shvua, then he'll be chayev a shvua. V'agalgal av shvua makom acher, and then I can throw the other shvua in via gilgul shvua. Harat ha'balom v'ashaker techak. Because your statement, you owe me 200, is a lie. So now turn it. Minayim lo shev b'chaver o'maneh v'ta'ano matayim. How do we know about a case where the guy says, you owe me 200, where he really owes 100, and shelo yomar, ach pereno beveitin, v'odelo chutz leveitin. You know what? I'm going to say I owe him nothing. And that way, of course, I won't be chayev shvua. And outside, I'll tell him I owe him 100. So that he doesn't do gilgul shvua on me. In other words, the plaintiff is bound by dvar shaker techak to claim only what he can claim. And the defendant has to admit to only what he can admit, and all of what he must admit to. Let's say there's three guys who are all coming after one guy for 100, meaning each guy has 33 that he's coming after. So you know what they could do? One guy could claim 100, the other two guys will be edim, false edim, and they'll get the 100, and then they'll split it. Again, these are all things where the ultimate reality may work, but you're tainting the proceedings. You have two guys coming to din. One guy's wearing rags, the other guy's wearing fancy clothes. We tell the rich guy, you either wear shmatas, or I'll be sheo kamotcha, or you better dress him in fancy clothes, like you. Now this is a little bit different because here what's happening is you're setting up a case where the guy in the rags is just going to feel outmanned. When the people would come to Rav Barahuna for din, Amarlo, he would say, "Shlufu pus v'kaychu v'chutu l'din. Take off your fancy shoes and come down to din. Let's get rid of all your fanciness. Let's be on an even playing ground and we'll judge." How do we know that you can't have an ex cathedra communication where one litigant presents his arguments outside of the presence of the other litigant? How do we know that a baldin shouldn't go up to the dayan and start sweet-talking him and presenting his argument, even in a sort of circular fashion, before the other guy comes? He learned that from lotisa shemashav, meaning lotasi. You shouldn't enable a lie. Now, the last piece of this is Vasher lo tov asa betochamav. This is in the description of the Rasha, in Yechezkel's famous piece about the Rasha dies on his own coattail, dies and doesn't ride on his father's righteous coattails, etc. He did bad. Rav amar zeh ba bar sha. That's referring to somebody who comes on behalf of another one to court because he's a tougher guy or a better arguer. Shmuel Amar Zel Okeach Sadeh Sheshel Asikin. That's somebody who buys a field that there's already claims about it, and he's putting himself right in the middle of a tangle. Okay, back to the Mishnah. Ein Nohagin Abarin LaHayid LaFukemai. We already said men Rechokim Kosher. What's right with LaHayid? Papa LaFukem Melech. A king can never testify. Sanhedrin Perak Bet. It's also to exclude somebody who's puzzled Rabbanon, like a gambler. So certainly a melech who's puzzled Doraita. But a melech, aval mesachek pekubia, mi Doraita mechzichazi. Since mi Doraita mesachek pekubia is kosher, Rabbanon paslu, and the Rabbanon invalidated him, therefore, shvua ta'edut would apply to him. Okay, b'fnei beitin, shlo b'fnei beitin. Now, b'mai kemi palgi, what's the machloket between Rab Meir and Chachamim? It's as follows. Bedon mina umina, bedon mina va'oki batrakami palgi. The machloket is, what do you do when you infer via gzera shava case A from case B? Don mina umina means you take from case A and you move it to case B and all of case A's expansions come with it. Don mina umina. So Rav Meir says we learn Shvuat Eidut from Shvuat HaPikadon, from Techta Techta, as we'll see later on. And therefore, just as we know that Shvuat HaPikadon can be an oath that the guy takes on his own, even outside of Beit Din, is a valid piece, therefore we apply it to Eidut. And Rabbanon say, Don mina ve'oki be'atra. You pull A into B, but it's limited by what B is limited to. And Shvuat Eidut is only in Beit Din. Alright, Rameir Sala Domina Omina, Ami Pikodon, Ma Pikodon, Mushbami Piatzmo Chayav, just like in Pikodon, you take the oath on your own. Afeidut Mushbam Piatzmo Chayav, so also in Eidut, you're all your Chayav, you take the oath on your own. Umina, Ma Pikodon, Ben Veitin Shalom Venshalom Veitin, Shwata Pikodon can happen in or out of court, doesn't matter. Afeidut Ben Veitin Venshalom Veitin, therefore Shwata Eidut, if you take the oath on your own, even if you deny it out of court, you're Chayav. Rabbanan Savi, Don Mina, Vaoki Beatra. The Rabbanan say, no, you bring it, but then it doesn't go further than the applied piece. If you take the oath on your own, you're chayev. But it stays limited by Eidut. Just like if you are given the oath by the other guy, it's only liable in Beit Din for Shvuat Eidut. So Beit Din lo. That's the Rabbanan to Rav Papa. Amar Rav Papa. Papa answered and said, "Even Pikadon Gamri Rabbanan. If you think the Rabbanan inferred Shvuat Eidut from Shvuat Pikadon, then the Kuli Amar Lo Pligi Don Mina Umina. Then they'd all agree it goes as far as it goes, and it should work even outside of Beit Din. Alahainu Tam Rabbanan. You know why the Rabbanan learned what they did about Shvuat Eidut only being valid if you deny it in Beit Din, no matter who takes the oath. To Maitu Lava Kal Vachomer. They didn't get it from there. They got it from a Kal Vachomer." Umami piacherim chayev, if in Shvuat Eidut, you're a chayev, shama kol Allah, when somebody else issued the imprecation, piatzmo lo kol shkein. Certainly, if you make the oath, then it's valid. Then you have the rule of dayola baminadin, liot kinidon. The kal can never be more than, the chomer can never be more than the kal. Mamushma piacherim of 18in, you got it from piacherim. So if somebody issues the oath, it only works inside of 18. Shlo be 18 lo. So not outside of Beit Din. So if you take the oath yourself, only inside Beit Din. Amar the Rabbanan Papa. So the students sent back to Rav Papa. How could you possibly think that Rabbanan or Meir are not disagreeing about this principle of Gzera Shava, Don Mina Omina, or Don Mina V'Oki Be'atra? Vatnan Gabe Pikadon, in the next parak, Mishnah Aleph, it says, Shvuat HaPikadon Oeget Pat Nashim Uvenashim Perchokin V'Korvin V'Ksharin V'Psulin V'Beitin V'Shlo B'Fnei Beitin V'Pi Atzmo V'Pi Acherim En Ocheyav Ad Sheichpor Bo B'Beitin Divir Rav Meir. Rav Meir says that if somebody else issues, if the Mafkij issues the Shvuat to the Shomer, he's only Chayav if he denies it in Beitin. And Rabbanon say, no matter who issued the oath, once you deny it, you're chayav anywhere. How do the Rabbanon know that there's any sort of shvua mipiacherim bepikadon? How do the Rabbanon know that if the shomer issues an oath, if the mafkid issues the oath, that the shomer is chayav? Lav de gamri lav meidut, didn't they get it from Eidut? In other words, you have to admit, Rav Papa, that the Rabbanan inferred Shvuat HaPikadon from Shvuat HaEidut, because otherwise, there's no source whatsoever to say that if the Mafkid issues an oath, the Shomer is Chayiv. Ushma mina, b'don mina u'mina pligi. So it must be, you must follow our original argument, that Rav Meir and Chachamim agree that we get Eidut from Pikadon from Eidut, and the question is how far to take it. The answer is no. You're right. They got a pikadon from Edut. That doesn't mean they got Edut from pikadon. It could be a one-way street. That's his answer. Okay, the end of the Mishnah, a couple little things. Chayavin al zdona shvua. You're chayev even if you intentionally lied about the Edut. And Hanimili, we saw this already. Tan Rabbanan. Chuan emar ban venelam. Mekan lo nemar ban venelam. Chayev al amezit kishogeg. In the other cases of short bitu and yediot tatuma, it says venelam. You forgot. Here it doesn't say it, so even if you didn't forget. El shigatayim zdon ha'idut. So hekhidam is shigatayim zdon ha'idut. How could, what's the shgaga was zdon ha'idut? What did you forget? Omer yodani shuazu asurah, but any yodai im chayvin ala korban alo. You know you're not allowed to do it, you just don't know what the consequence is. And in the Gemara, we already said that this is not only Munbaz's approach, which is true about Shabbat and Chelev, but it's even Rabbanu would agree, because the korban here is so unique, it's a korban for a lav, not for a karet. Therefore, they would agree that forgetting about the korban is a shogeg. Vein chayavin al shingata gredata. You're not chayiv if you're totally shogeg, meaning if you really forgot you witnessed it. Lema tenin lechavkana ravasi. So that sounds like it supports this case of Avkana ravasi. Remember when they both swore as to what Rav said, and obviously one of them was wrong, and we said that's okay, that's onus. So lo. Afagav nani starich. Even though we have our Mishnah, we still need the case of Avkana ravasi because it's not as obvious. Because here in our case it doesn't say venelam, meaning the bainin shogeg dumi de mezid. The shogeg has to be like mezid where you knew the edut, and therefore avalhatam dichti venelam over there in the case of shuat bitui and shuat bitui which turned into sheker, which is venelam afilu shingata kolduhu. Even if you totally forgot what happened, you'd be chayiv. So Kamashvalan, therefore, need the case of Kana Ravasi to tell me that even in Shuat Bitui, if you swear as to what your Rebbe said or something like that, and you really forgot, you're putter. Okay, we'll pick it up at the next Mishnah in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.